Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we're on episode number 24. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg, and we're going to be talking about reconciliation. And this kind of piggybacks on our conversation from last week, which has to do with forgiveness. And but I also think it has to do a lot with the conversation that we had on love. I don't know, a couple episodes ago. Right. So if you haven't listened to either the one from last week or the podcast on love, I think both of those are helpful as like good foundational building blocks for this conversation. So I'd recommend you listening to those if you haven't. But when we're talking about reconciliation, it is between two parties coming together and making what was wrong right. Agreeing on that.
Okay, right.
But I think to pedal back, forgiveness, though, is a separate matter, but it has to do with it because you have to choose to forgive before there's reconciliation.
Right.
And so I want to go back to, can you just sum up what we talked about a little bit last week on forgiveness and how there are these different aspects to it? And how we're going to talk about reconciliation, which is one aspect of it.
So. Okay, right. We thought about the fact that when you think about the whole subject of forgiveness, there are three dimensions to it. What I do in my own heart's the first one, and that's the most important. What forgiveness is, first of all, an attitude in my heart before God in regards to another person and an action they took. The second area, though, is reconciliation. It depends on the forgiveness. Right? Because you can't reconcile unless there's forgiveness. And so we can think about what should I do in that reconciling event? All right, how does that work out? And then the third part is, it takes you to the other side of it. What happens if I need the forgiveness? Mm-hmm. We're talking about forgiveness. What do I need to know about dealing with things when I am the person who has done the offense and need to receive forgiveness from another person? And that's a whole nother subjective. So those are the three parts. But forgiveness itself, we have to remember, is primarily, we take that from the verse in Mark where we said that whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. So the forgiveness is something I can do on the spot. I don't need the other person there to forgive. It's something I do in my own heart with respect to God. And what I'm doing is I am transferring the matter of justice from my heart to God's heart. Yeah. I'm putting the justice issue into God's hands to work out. And then I agree that although the action caused me pain, sometimes more, sometimes less, but although it caused me pain, I am going to live with that pain instead of trying to settle the issue of that pain. And then I've forgiven.
Yeah.
I've released them from my clutches, if you would, to sort out what was wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, or to pay for what was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the forgiveness. That's what I do in my heart. Mm. Okay.
That's super helpful to kind of keep in mind these different aspects of it. And I think it's important to realize that when we are beginning this conversation on reconciliation, I think you would agree that there is nowhere in Scripture that it's commanded because it requires two different parties. And so it is if one party refuses, it's an impossible situation.
Right.
And I think beforehand, you had mentioned that the Lord doesn't call us to those impossible, those impossible things. Yeah. Could you just elaborate on that?
Yeah. So sometimes it's always our goal to live in peace with people. And then Paul in Romans chapter 12, he says, so far as it lies in your camp, right? So far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. But even if I make an effort to live at peace, that is to keep right relationships with all men, it won't happen. That's just practically fact, because I can't control you.
Yeah.
I can attempt to keep my relationship right. But if you don't want to have that relationship, if the second party is not interested in that, I have no control over it. I can't force it. So God can't, and he doesn't. He doesn't command me to be reconciled to each other, all right? There's time when it sounds like it, but we should be trying that. In the church, we should always be working towards that, but we can't guarantee the result. And that is where the problem comes with it. Yeah. So I can't demand it. God doesn't demand it.
Yeah.
But I should always be working towards it.
Hmm. And that's really helpful, yeah. Because sometimes people they do not want to reconcile with you. For whatever reason, they are I think you sound like they enjoy seeing you flounder. Right. There's all different reasons for why reconciliation doesn't come about, but it should be our desire, our goal should be that reconciliation happens.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it will happen.
Right.
And I think that relief that it's not commanded, forgiveness is, and we have to forgive, but the command to reconcile doesn't exist.
Right.
Because it just is, it requires two parties.
Right.
So,
but it does, we should note this, that if reconciliation doesn't take place, it's probably the harsh way to put it, it should always be the other person's fault. Hmm. Yeah. That's where we have to be.
Yeah.
We have to be in a place where if we can't get back together, it's because the other person doesn't want to get back together. There should never, and that's what the Lord is saying with regards to forgiveness, there should never be a time when a relationship is not sorted out because I won't do it.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's where we're aiming.
Yeah.
And so we have to think of it that way.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And reconciliation, when we're talking about it, I think there's like the reconciliation within the body of Christ.
Right.
And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should, like that, we both are, we're one in Christ, so
right.
we should be seeking that. There's also reconciliation between people that aren't Christians, and that
right.
maybe is more difficult because
right.
they don't have the renewal of their life in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have the work of the Holy Spirit. And so
right.
they're not seeking it from the same direction that you are. But in the body of Christ, it should be, we should be seeking reconciliation, and it should be a demonstration of our love one to
right.
another.
Right.
And there's several verses that speak to that end. So that's why when earlier on I was talking about the podcast on love, but that is an outworking
right.
of our love. That is a marker of our true, genuine faith, is this reconciliation.
Right. And we should also note this, too, that just going along with it, just to get all the pieces in place.
Yeah.
The word reconciliation is the bringing back together of something which was broken. There are times when we have bumps and bruises and pains on there which didn't break a relationship because we didn't have a relationship with the person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that's kind of getting picky, but there are some people we have to forgive which we're never going to have a relationship with because we didn't have a relationship before.
Yeah.
Reconcile means to bring back together, to put together a relationship which has been separated because of an offense or because it's always an offense. Something happened that split the relationship. But suppose somebody runs into me and, runs a stop sign and smashes my car. I have to forgive them, mm-hmm. right? But I didn't have a relationship before. I'm not required to somehow work out. I didn't have a relationship. So reconciliation is only applicable in a place where some kind of a relationship already existed, which is most of our problems anyway.
Because most of the time, our need for forgiveness is often in those situations that are close relationships. And I think last week you mentioned that it's easy to ignore or to simply just push aside those small offenses that it's not really that big of a
right.
deal, but those small offenses build up and
right.
then it blows into this huge situation and you ultimately don't even know why you're frustrated at this person,
right.
but it's this
true enough.
Small building up of these small offenses. And so even the small offense is an important one to seek forgiveness.
Right.
And then if it broke that relationship, it's important that we seek reconciliation
right.
in that. I think one of the good stories in the New Testament to look at reconciliation is in Philemon,
right?
Because you have this complex situation that Paul is writing about, where Paul is in prison. You have Philemon, who is this fellow brother in Christ, and he has a slave, Onesimus, and he ran away and he stole stuff from Philemon. And he ended up meeting Paul, Onesimus, and then Onesimus became a Christian as well. Mm-hmm. And after some time, he was going back to Philemon to reconcile right. this relationship. And Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, basically encouraging him to reconcile, to right. receive him back as a brother in Christ, not just as a slave that ran away, but as a brother in Christ. And so you have these parties that were hurt, but they were all ended up being brothers in Christ.
Right.
And so I just think that is a really good story that we can kind of trace and base some discussion on.
Right.
So one of the first things is Paul's patience when it comes to discussing his topic with Philemon. And he spends about half the letter and he doesn't even address Onesimus, which right. I think is telling, because Paul is just, he's speaking to him about these various aspects of the Christian faith, about his love for him, about right. all these things. And when we approach somebody in seeking reconciliation, there is an aspect of patience that is needed.
Right.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a key part to, because and the story is so valuable mm-hmm. because it gets you down to where it really happens. Here's a man who we don't know why Onesimus ran off. Mm-hmm. All right. We don't know whether he was pressured. He was treated in a way he thought was wrong. We don't know. We just don't know. But he could have been, and he's left. Now he's converted. But he stole certain things. It's just yeah. all the pieces. That's the way life comes up. The relationships are broken because somebody takes an action. And in that particular case, Paul is appealing because Roman law puts Onesimus in a real bad place. Yeah, Onesimus in a very bad place. I mean, he's in real danger.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for his conversion, he would have had to keep on running. If they ever catch up with him, he's in trouble. So forgiveness, you can see where the forgiveness part has to come back in. There's a lot to be forgiven here. There is a loss of goods. There is a humiliation to be dealt with. There is the feature that in receiving that slave back, Philemon is going to lose face publicly. I mean, it is an interesting story because yeah. it teaches us something about how complex reconciliation is. You can't... It demands that all of those elements be dealt with. And that's where the forgiveness part comes in, because it's the only way. And we said that last week, and I want to... The only thing I can do about hurts of the past is forgive them. That's all that I can do. I can't change anything. We said it last week, I think, but it... We find out that if we take vengeance, it doesn't help because we're still left with the pain.
Yeah.
So when we agree to live with the pain peacefully, we're going to live with it anyway. Even if we take vengeance, we will still hurt because if it costs me something, it still costs me. It doesn't change when that other person's hurt.
Yeah.
So in the process of reconciliation in Paul, that's what Paul's doing there. All the elements of hurt have to be addressed and forgiven. And that's where it becomes complex.
Yeah.
Because typically in a relationship breakdown, it isn't one person. Mm-hmm. The two people got irritated with each yeah. other. And it seldom is over one person's failure. Yeah. It's mostly over a failure that was caused by a failure. Yeah. You know, and then it... Yeah. It blows apart, and we have a difficulty. So pulling that relationship practically back together demands that both parties look at all the elements of what broke us apart yeah. and how we're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. It requires both honesty about the situations and humility, because ultimately you have to address in your own heart that you had a role in this
right.
whatever it is that this offense, because often, like you said, oftentimes this offense is caused by this offense, and
right.
always, but often, that person is reacting to something that you said,
right.
or and you didn't think it was a big deal,
right.
or you did something and they thought it was a big deal, and you're like, it's fine, and
right.
But there has to be humility and willingness to look at your own heart and
right.
your own actions and address them before the Lord and then before the other person. So I think
right.
that's an important
yep.
aspect of it. Another aspect of of Philemon and Onesimus coming together was that Paul was confident in Philemon's acceptance back of
right.
Onesimus. And I think it's verse 21, and he says, confident in your obedience.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you about that. What is Paul talking about? What is he kind of communicating? Because he seemed, it seems like there was like, this is the right course of action as brothers in Christ.
Right.
You should come back together. Paul's like, almost, he's not like telling him that he has to, but he's confident in it.
Right.
He's trusting that Philemon will take this action. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's different aspects to what Paul's doing there. He's confident, but he's also putting the pressure on.
Yeah.
He's telling him so that if Onesimus doesn't, or excuse me, if Philemon doesn't receive him back, then he's cutting across Paul. Mm-hmm. And Paul's trying to put, he's trying to put everything he can up. And I think that anything in the way to help Onesimus's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does have this confidence in him because he apparently knows him fairly well and knows that he's a man who will respond. But he's also facing the fact that, and we do have to do that in reconciliation, when offenses take place, emotions get stirred and hurts are there. So there is an intellectual side to putting it back together, facing the hurts. There is an emotional side to the whole thing. And I think one of the great lessons of the book is how much a third party can do to help in the process of reconciliation, to come alongside and help the two parties work it out. I think it's just a terrific little letter.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Can we talk about like that third party? Because there are instances where, say, in a family dynamic, there's often a peacemaker in the
right.
family. And
right.
there's often like there's different parties. And anyway, families are complicated because there's relationships and people
right.
and different personalities. So like if you find yourself being that third party, what are some of your recommendations to them? Because it's a tough spot to be,
right.
because say you have a relationship with both parties and you love both of them.
Right.
They're not seeing eye to eye
right.
on these things. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the person who is the third party is often really, really important.
Hmm.
Because it's sometimes when you're one-on-one and you're upset and you're irritated by them, seeing clearly is not always the easiest, I think, the easiest thing. Yeah, you tend to defend yourself a little bit more than you should, or you don't know what to do with it. You know, you have a lot of, very often, particularly this is where it comes up in family relationships, that's honestly, that's where the biggest problem comes.
Yeah.
It's the people that are close to you that you have trouble with. You keep them at a distance. Okay, I can forgive somebody I don't see because I don't have to look at them. But it's inside of the really close relationships you have trouble. Third party has the ability to kind of look past the emotions and just look at the facts, and this is what we have to deal with. And so I think that's the great value in it, is that if the person, which Paul doesn't do there, he doesn't take sides in this. He just says, you have to get back together. He points out Onesimus's sin, his failure, not sin, but his offense against him, the things that he did steal. And he offers to step in there and mute the problem as if he owes you something, I'll pay it. Put it to my account. I'll sort it out with you. See, he's making every effort because the relationship is so important to him that he will take the steps. But the other side is he's on both sides. Is he's noting this is what happened, right? And this is what you should do, and this is what I this is what we should do. And he's really good at it in that because of who the Lord is. Who's the Lord? What has he done for us? And often it's the third party that has the chance to do that. But they have a chance to point out to both parties where it's doing. And that's the one real danger in it is that you take sides in it. Hmm. In reconciliation, you have to face where the problems really are. Now, sometimes a bulk of the problem lies with one person.
Yeah.
We can't say it's always two people. It's always two people. But where's the balance of where's the problem? This problem could be completely separate from this individual, but there could be something over here. Mm-hmm. And so the person who's a third party has to help balance all that out, point it out, and get down to the facts of it instead of just the emotion of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Paul's doing there. Yep. And blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. And I think that's part of what the peacemaker is. He's a person who looks at a situation and figures out, how can I get this person and this person back together again?
Yeah. I think that that's really helpful, that you have to be objective.
Right.
And you can't take sides to the best of your ability. And then that is the third party is a role that is reflective in the Beatitudes,
right?
Like you just said, and yeah. that it's an important role because that person is also reflecting God's desire that reconciliation
right.
happens.
Right.
Because God ultimately he reconciled with us, and when we
right.
became
right.
Children of God and heirs with Jesus Christ, and so like there's a reconciliation that
right.
Happens there. I think that Jason when botch his last name, but Helpolalas. Anyways, he's a pastor, but he said reconciliation in the body of Christ flows from a reconciling Savior.
Amen.
And I thought that was a good quote, especially like in this conversation, because it's helpful to remind ourselves, and Paul does that in his letter to Philemon. He reminds him several times of the gospel.
Like, right.
You remember, this is who you right. are, and this is what you believe, and this is how this translates into action. Like
right.
if you're following the Lord, there is, you should seek reconciliation. You should seek forgiveness. So I think that's a third aspect of, that letter is the importance of reminding, especially in a Christian relationship, that the importance of
right.
the gospel.
Right.
That
right. Which is really, you know, when you think about it, when we're preaching the gospel, we are the third party.
Yeah.
We are as if God were beseeching you through us, be reconciled. That's our job, is to go to people, understand why they're upset with God, because they don't want to be with God, and try to discuss or show to them what God has done. And we're, in essence, in evangelism, trying to take a man by the hand and bring him to the hand of God and bring him there together. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is reflected in our interactions in the body. Paul, and again, the third party is very often important. When in the book of Philippians, there's two ladies that are having a problem. Both of them are friends of Paul's.
Yeah.
They both help Paul. They're both on Paul's side. They just don't seem to be on each other's side. And Paul said, now, you guys, help them. Mm. Help them. Help them.
Yeah.
They need help. They need you to step in and help them reconcile this situation. I think that's what he's saying. He says, you know, now help them out because they need someone to step in and not force, just get the issues out and help them to forgive whatever it was. We have no idea why. It could have even just been personality, but they were apart, but and very often we are called into that situation, mm. and we're doing a big thing because God, anywhere we make peace, and that's so important in our own day when the whole culture is making war. It's
yeah.
making war with each other. Everything is about defending your rights and mm-hmm. being held right and being recognized, and nobody's going to step on me. Now, if you're going to have relationships, the reality of life on this earth is that if you're in relationships, problems are going to occur. Offenses are going to take place. And Christianity has an answer to those offenses and why it's important.
I think just practically thinking, it can be daunting to be that third party in a reconciliation, in trying to reconcile a relationship. And going back to that fact that if we're Christians, if we're in Christ, then we have the work of the Holy Spirit in us and we have his power in us. And so we can rely on him to say what needs to be said and for the strength to, because also relationships can be taxing and it just can get exhausting because you can oftentimes they become all consuming to the parties and to that the third party especially. So I think just practically it is helpful to remind ourselves constantly and to to go back to the reality that we are in Christ and ground ourselves in that in that truth. Do you have any other thoughts on
that? I think we should just mention, too, that the third party, what is his job, really? We've tried. But your job is to get out in the open what are the offenses so that they are forgiven. The attempt to reconcile people without dealing with the problems is a real serious thing. You just want you want peace, all right? You have one peace, so why don't we kiss and make up?
Yeah.
But if we're going to make up, we have to go back to what drove us apart. And the only answer to what drove us apart is forgiveness. That's why forgiveness becomes so important. Both parties have to do it. And that's the third party. Their job is to get out in the open. What was the offense? What was it that needs to be let go of? What needs to be put aside? Because if you don't get there, it's just going to pop again. Because the hurt in the heart is still there, which is going to drive it apart again. It's not going to.
Yeah.
It has to be cured. It has to be cured. And the only way that you can cure that hurt and bring the parties back together is mutual forgiveness where it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So that's our job.
That's really helpful. What about a situation where the person doesn't want to be reconciled? The other person, because I think if the other party is like refusing to be reconciled with you and you say you're the one who offended them, right? It's on you. Can you talk a little bit about that and what are you supposed to do? What is your role? Like we mentioned it a tiny bit in the beginning, but
okay. Yeah, if we've offended, if I have offended someone, I am responsible to attempt reconciliation. Go be reconciled to your brother. And then that's where we said there was a difference. The passage in Mark says that I can, if somebody's offended me and I'm praying, I should forgive them in my heart. I don't have to go to them. I can forgive them. I can deal with it later, but I can do that on the spot. In Matthew, when he's talking about offering your offering, he says, if you're offering your offering and you remember that your brother has something against you, the implication there is that your brother has something against you because you did it. You know it. He knows it. Okay, both of you know it. Put this down. Just leave your – don't make the offering yet. Go back, be reconciled, and then come and make your offering. So it's my responsibility if I have hurt someone and I know that they know, so that they're hurt, so that the relationship has been wounded, to go and reconcile. But there's the possibility that when I go to someone, they don't want to be reconciled. That could come from either side. You're ready to offer forgiveness, but somebody don't want forgiven. They don't. They're happy you were hurt. I mean, that happens in life. People who just really don't like you, and they're never going to like you. Mm-hmm. All right, they're never going to. You can't do anything about that. You could come to someone you've hurt, and they refuse to forgive. They just won't let it go. You're released at that point. That's. We are to make every effort to live at peace. But I do not have control of anybody else's will. And God can't require of me to make you do something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for Christians, because sometimes we think if I do the right thing, the relationship will be healed. You can do the right thing at times, and the relationship is not healed because the other person will not heal it. Mm-hmm. And you cannot force that into existence. You can make every effort, but it's, again, that's Paul's thing. So far as in you lies, live at peace. But there is a dimension of response of other people that I have no control over, and I have to live at peace with God on that. I can't sit around and feel guilty because I can't force it. And it's particularly difficult if I'm the offending part. I've done the offense, and then I can't get the relationship back together again. And it happens. Mm-hmm. It's painful, but I can live at least with peace. I have to make an effort, but I have to also accept the fact that I have no control over another person's will. Yeah. And so I have to wait for their response. Mm-hmm. And then I have to live peaceably with the rest of myself. I have to go on with life.
Yeah.
I can't stop there.
I think it's helpful in like that situation to also remind yourself that you sought forgiveness, and you have forgiven in your own heart,
right,
and you sought forgiveness. The Lord has also forgiven you. And
right,
you are justified in,
right,
in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so you've done what the Lord has asked,
right,
of you,
right,
and ultimately it's now in his hands,
right,
to bring that back together.
Right. Yeah.
What are, say, a couple different ways in which we can practically pursue reconciliation or start on that process of reconciliation in our lives, like if there's an offense?
Okay, I think the first of them is this, that is where we started last week. I have to be very aggressive in my own heart at forgiving people. I have to learn to forgive what's an offense and to forget what isn't an offense. Sometimes some things just need forgotten because they really weren't offensive. They just hurt me, but they weren't offensive. So that has to go. But that's the first step. All right, I have to do it. The second, as you said earlier, is a willingness to humble myself with regards to relationships. Because I think most, maybe that's too far, but a lot of the reason why there isn't reconciliation is pride. Right? It's just pride. Because somebody has to say, I was wrong, and they just can't quite bring themselves to that. And if they won't, then they can't deal with the problem they have in their heart. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. Until the problems that I have in my heart are dealt with, if I come back together, we're just going to blow apart again. Mm-hmm. So it has to go. So I have to have a life of humility, right? And I have to have a life which is always thinking in terms of what the Lord did for me. Mm-hmm. Just has to be there. He's and I'm ready. I should be ready at any time. There should never be a time when somebody comes to me and seeks to reconcile where I refuse. That's the biggest thing you do. Make sure your heart's right. Mm-hmm. Then make every effort. If that's where it is, then you can make the effort without so much trouble. But you have to be kind of ruthless on that. You can't hold offenses. You just can't hold them. All right. It's always dangerous to think about what an offense of the past.
Mm-hmm. I think one other one that I would add is like you have to pray for the person.
Right.
It's really hard to stay angry at a person.
Right.
If you're praying for them.
That's
like
true.
If you're honestly praying.
That's
about
true. Good
them,
word.
Because you're petitioning the God of the universe who loves that person,
right,
and sent Jesus to die for them as well. And it's challenging to hold a grudge or to be bitter.
Amen.
Or to, if you're truly, because ultimately, like we've been called to. Love those who hate us, like love our enemies,
right,
and also pray for those who persecute us,
right,
which I think goes hand in hand in that because the Lord is, he is seeking them. And then, it's hard to stay angry and bitter at someone if you're praying about it.
Amen.
So do you have anything else to add on this topic, or do you feel like we wrapped it up?
I think we've got it. I think we have it there.
I think it was helpful. So I hope that this has encouraged you. You have something in your life that needs reconciliation. We'd encourage you to seek the Lord on that and to pursue tangible steps, because as Christians, especially, it should be our motivation that a relationship is healed, is brought back together. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that privilege and that opportunity. Amen. So, as always, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts on everywhere that you get podcasts. And then you can follow us on our social media channels. And until next week, we will, may the Lord bless you, and we'll see you again then.